The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes show. It's the show you've all been waiting for. Until now. Until literally right now.
Now!
Literally right now. Literally. Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas show. I want to read a letter. This is very important. This is a letter to all the state legislators in the swing states. It could be sent to all the state legislators in America. This is one of the most important things I've ever read on this program. It's written by my friend Jay Etzel. And when I read it, I said, I need to share this on this program. Jay Etzel can be found at strengthenthenation.com. He's a dear friend of 30 years, wonderful friend, strengthenthenation.com. He wrote a letter. When I read it, I said, this says everything the way it ought to be said, and I'm going to read it on the program. And I hope all of you will send it to the state legislators in the swing states. Send this video when you can. Here is the letter. It says, Dear legislator, this email is being sent to Republican legislators, as well as some Democrat legislators in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and possibly other states. Now, Jay Etzel sent this actual letter, but this is, I think sending the video would be helpful. So let me continue. He says, I am writing you this urgent letter for two main reasons. To make you aware of a national prayer and fasting initiative that I created for the presidential election, which now ties directly into the very position that you are in right now. Please visit the website strengthenthenation.com for more info. Number two, I wrote this letter to entreat you, state legislator, in the strongest terms possible to do all in your power and exert your rightful authority to immediately take back power and control of this election process, which has lost all rightful and spiritual grounding, has been subverted from the legislators and the American people, and is making a mockery of our system. He goes on, I created Strength in the Nation in order to set higher standards for leadership in America and to protect against the kinds of attacks on our ethical, spiritual, and constitutional foundations that have created the environment for that which we're witnessing currently. This situation involves the election, involving the election is taking place within the larger context of a moral and spiritual crisis that has progressively plagued our nation over the last number of years. Specifically, the election fraud crisis that we are now in the throes of displays a level of malfeasance this country has never witnessed before and threatens the entire standing of our republic. It resembles events that happen in banana republics and not in settled democracies. It is massive, extremely dark, multi-layered, and multi-dimensional. Its engineering and coordination required hundreds of individuals and spanned multiple states, making it the greatest political scandal in American history. Parenthetically, folks, I, Eric Metaxas, agree with everything Jay says, so you can take it as though I'm saying it, but Jay Etzel wrote this. Continuing. Its extensiveness involves state and federal unconstitutional acts, last-minute changes to voting laws, misconduct on the part of election officials, manipulated outcome of votes, innumerable procedural errors and illegalities, ethics violations, blatant law-breaking, complex cybercrime, domestic and foreign interference, voter disenfranchisement, and much more. All of this was manifested in a wide range of spectacularly corrupt activity that was witnessed by over 1,000 affiants. Those are people who fill out affidavits. 1,000 truth tellers and whistleblowers who've come forward. These witnesses have delivered devastating testimony of ballot harvesting, backdating, curing votes, coaching of voters, dead people voting, out-of-state voting, incapacitated individuals voting, unethically using the homeless to vote, people voting multiple times, underage voting, felons voting, unregistered voters voting, fake ballots, altered and switched votes, deleted votes, unprotected chains of ballot custody, votes lost, votes sold, votes found in garbage cans and rivers. I continue. Interference with and rank intimidation of Republican observers, suspicious use of USB thumb drives, loads of ballots driven across state lines, thousands of ballots stolen, stacks of ballots being fed into the machine multiple times, votes counted in secret, unverifiable votes, ballot dumps by the thousands, inaccurate and inflated voter rolls, weighted votes, statistical anomalies and near impossibilities, unsolicited ballots being indiscriminately sent to unverified addresses, and more. All of which categories favored Joe Biden and disfavored Donald Trump. Americans from generations of old have always disdained cheating. This is an injustice so severe that it unsettles the very concept of fairness across the entire spectrum of American life. Furthermore, the enormous amount of evidence that will come to light through the vigorous, functional, and honest investigations and discovery that this crisis demands and deserves will be a chilling reminder of why we are a nation of law and order. There is no possible standard of enlightened, intelligent justice in the history of America that would allow any of these inane activities in this patent attempt to steal an election to be peddled upon the American people. None of this would have had the ability to stand in the light of day. In fact, every action that has been taken in mostly Democratic-controlled precincts, both in leading up to the election and since, has been to all but guarantee that the election would indeed not be fair, accurate, and protected. In fact, it would be hard to imagine a more obvious scenario in which an election could be rigged. But this is happening now because certain operatives in the media, in the Democratic Party, certainly not all Democrats, and others have engaged with impunity in a long train of abuses against our nation and lawful order. We are now at the turning point where even for those who are ardently resisting the reality that substantial fraud existed, it has become intellectually and logistically more difficult for them to deny that fraud, than it is for them to acknowledge that fraud. I can definitively say from personal experience, this is Jay Etzel speaking, from personal experience, from having been involved in the 2000 presidential recount in Broward County, Florida, that if any one of these irregularities that have been described in this election were witnessed in the Florida recount, then each and every one of those problematic ballots would have been promptly thrown out. The Florida recount, though imperfect, was nevertheless strict, well-organized, well-supervised, and transparent. The process involved one observer from both parties and a supervisor who had direct view of the ballots as they were physically standing over the shoulders of those who were slowly and deliberately counting. There was full cooperation between those counting the votes and the observer's challengers. The idea that an observer from either party could have been shut out from any portion of this process would have been a literal impossibility and would have set off a firestorm of scandal. There has been virtually at every turn and every level an attempt to undermine and jettison every reasonable measure to ensure election integrity, most notably the intentional failure to safeguard that every vote cast would be from a properly registered legal voter of that state, was easily capable of being verified and traced back to its original source after the fact, and was cast on time and according to all the laws and requirements that were carefully and constitutionally derived from the state legislature. In addition to this, the revelations about the inherent design of the Dominion voting system and its companion software to provide a backdoor to manipulate votes should compel every American to call for the most advanced investigations that our country is capable of. And again, parenthetically, editorializing Eric Metaxas, I say, hear, hear, close paren. The most disgraceful action surrounding this election was the exploitation of the pandemic for political purposes. In this, fear was incessantly inflicted upon the American people to discourage voting in person. This provided cover for setting up a mass mail-in balloting scheme that created chaos and overwhelmed the system. The The rationale for mail-in balloting when juxtaposed with the rationale for allowing protesting while ignoring COVID protocols, not to mention the rioting and looting in the streets, demonstrated the usefulness of double standards. The same media outlets and Democratic figures who, only days before the protests started, demanded the strictest lockdown and distancing policies were now welcoming and encouraging the protests for days and weeks on end. Going to go to a break. We'll be right back with the rest of this important letter. I hope you'll share it with your state legislature. Let me tell you, I got some news for you. Hey, folks, it's here from Dax's show. I will continue now reading what I consider an extremely important letter to every state legislator in the swing states. I hope you'll share this video, send it to your state legislator, and they will listen to it. Continuing. Additionally, it was testified that Democrat agitators consistently used COVID restrictions as an excuse to bully, intimidate, and get Republican poll watchers thrown out of their stations while then simultaneously relaxing the restrictions when it benefited them to do so. This whole election crisis is, in effect, ground zero for you as an individual state legislator, the entire Republican Party, and every earnest Democratic leader as well. This is happening in real time on your watch, and neither you in your own work and personal power nor America can go forward unless this coup is stopped in its tracks, its perpetrators brought to complete justice, and the results of this election restored to their proper standing. This election, not only for its own sake, but for the sake of all future elections, must be taken back to the full trust of the American people. This action is vital for every citizen from every political and social background, because if it does not happen now, there may not be an America worth having any election for. In fact, the harm that we're going through in this attempted election steal is nothing more than the next step in subversiveness and treachery that's been leveled at Donald Trump's presidency for four straight years, which included the relentless pursuit of the Russia collusion hoax and an entirely contrived impeachment. I say this to encourage you, the state legislator, to be galvanized to the boldest, greatest action on behalf of the people of your state, because in certain very real respects, the future of our nation passes through your hands at this very moment. Corporately, you as legislators have the most direct and complete authority to step in and save this election and moment in history. Leaving this to the caprice of the courts is to abdicate your power and relinquish it to the few who are appointed rather than the many who are elected. Does any rational person really believe that if this election fraud is allowed to stand, that the outcome could possibly end well for the country? Even now, tens of millions of angry and bewildered patriotic Americans are wondering how any of this election steal could possibly happen in the United States. Therefore, what all of this comes down to for you and your colleagues are three simple realities that center on truth, justice, and courage, and which will determine everything. One, without truth, there can be no justice. Number two, there is a war against the truth, and therefore the truth will be resisted by those who stand to gain by that resistance, as well as the ignorant. Three, courage is what takes truth into the light. Cowardice and apathy are what allow evil to flourish. It is not enough for a leader to know the truth, which in this case is becoming ever horrifically obvious. One must also have the courage and power to stand by that truth. And it's precisely at this point where we see so many leaders in this very crisis personally falter and fail the country because they are unaware of the well-rehearsed tactics and steps that are employed by those who, number one, commit fraud, number two, vehemently deny that fraud was committed, number three, intimidate and attack those who attempt to expose the fraud, and number four, accuse others of the very thing that they did, and finally, five, when caught, simply move on to the next scheme. Furthermore, the coordinated attempt by the media to entirely censor evidence of fraud is a conspiring gaslighting technique designed to dull Americans into accepting that which is false. The fact that we've seen a purposeful and persistent attempt by some Democrat operatives, the media, and certain compromised weak Republicans to entirely ignore and suppress the enormity of the ever-mounting, ever-flowing evidence of fraud involved in this election tells the enlightened person that the charge of election fraud is dead on. that we see a manic rush to coronate Joe Biden as president while simultaneously seeing from the same forces an attack on those who simply want to get to the truth reveals sheer madness, attempted deception, and desperation. Also should be instructed that these same individuals who for nearly 3 years tried desperately to convince the nation of the Russian collusion hoax, despite having zero evidence, are the same individuals who are now trying to convince the nation that no voter fraud took place in the past election, despite an abundance of evidence to the contrary. When one considers the many well-studied indicators that demonstrate the all but impossible outcome of Joe Biden winning the election, the evidence of fraud that has been presented is even further supported. For just a few examples, no president has won both Florida and Ohio and lost the election. Trump won both. No incumbent president has received more votes in their second election than in their first and lost. Trump received 11 million more in 2020 than he did in 2016. And Eric Metaxas, parenthetically editorializing again, that's that were counted. We're not including votes that were not counted, which we're saying there are such votes, of course. Continuing, no incumbent president has had more enthusiasm from his base during the campaign for his second term than his rival had in his base and lost. The enthusiasm level of Trump's base was unmatched, whereas Joe Biden had no discernible base or enthusiasm. No incumbent president has received more than 75% of his party's primary vote and lost. Trump received 94%. Additionally, there are other metrics across the spectrum that illustrate the impossibility of a Joe Biden victory, such as down ballot votes, an increase in minority votes, internal polling, etc. Furthermore, the idea that Joe Biden received over 10 million more votes than Barack Obama did in 2008 would not have been considered even a plausible one by any serious expert. The combination of laziness, suppression of truth, and corruption that underlines this undemocratic process is coercing the entire population to believe the exact opposite of what is true. The notion that no voter fraud exists is absurd on its face. And this is Jay Edsel speaking, I watched almost all of the nearly 30 hours of state hearings in Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia, and I can truly say that it would be impossible for any open-minded person to pretend that the evidence is anything other than overpowering, overwhelming, deeply real and painful in human terms, and astonishing. The scope of fraud and violations of law is exceeded only in its depth and is devastating to the delusion that these did not occur. In these states alone, not to mention other potential states, the revelations of these hearings alone, which are only partial, beg the question, where isn't there evidence of voter fraud and violations, rather than the tired question of where is the evidence of voter fraud and violations of law? In fact, the brazen unwillingness to encourage a rightful constitutional process to have its exact, complete, and thorough due process, no matter how long it takes or what is involved, is so entirely un-American that no previous generation of Americans would have tolerated it in any capacity. In truth, this is so important to our democracy that whatever is necessary to make the election right is what needs to be done. In any situation involving fraud, no one knows more about the chicane, that's where we get the word chicanery from, the chicane, look it up, it's a great word, about the chicane than those who committed it. The pretense of no fraud continues only as long as it is possible to get away with it. It is up to those who were victimized to uncover the fraud, make the charge, and see it through. And if those in a capacity to defend society do not follow through on their due diligence in real time, they will then forfeit not only their moral authority, but also their ability to speak to this in the future when it will be easier to do so because lies have short legs, and the truth that is even now abundantly coming to light will eventually be fully revealed. At this point, the very individuals who are now vehemently denying that fraud exists will rightfully ask those who fail to act in real time, one, if fraud was suspected and or brought to your attention, then why didn't you bother to fully investigate it when you had the power to? Two, if you did find fraud, why did you do nothing about it? In light of this, all legislators, regardless of their party, must realize that future generations of Americans will not judge them based on their political expediency or what they did under the pressure of the moment, but rather on whether or not they were on the right side of God, history, and truth. and it is certain that history will prove out all that is malevolently being obscured now. The idea of solving the election process in the future while allowing this blatant crime to go unaddressed in the present is catastrophically wrong on many levels. The best way to stop election fraud in the future is to stop it in the present while you have the constitutional authority to do so. For if it is not done now while you are still strong, how can it be rationally assumed it will be done in the future when you may be further stripped of your constitutional powers? More importantly, the idea that overturning election results is too great a challenge, as some have fearfully asserted, should be categorically rejected, because the only overturning of a rightful election was that which occurred in the middle of the night on November 3rd, when, along with many other illegal and unethical activities, votes were secretly counted in back rooms. The certification of this election is tantamount to the certification of fraud and serves as a reward to lawlessness. Because of this, it is critical to understand that Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives the authority to the state legislature to have final say over the choice of their electors. This provision grants the ability to have oversight to this very kind of situation that we face in this election. Therefore, no state legislator should allow their state's electoral votes to be cast in such highly compromised circumstances, which the Constitution protects against. We'll be right back.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Folks, this is the Eric Mattox Show. I continue reading just the last bit of my dear friend Jay Etzel's letter to the state legislators of the swing states. Again, I hope you will share video of me reading this letter with your state legislators. This is very important. He sums it all up. I will continue reading now. It is now clearly impossible for any lawmaker to remain neutral or passive in this matter, because silence is in effect consent to the greatest election scheme our country has known. In short, it is the responsibility and obligation of the state legislature to step in and make sure that their state's electoral votes are cast according to an ethical, rightful outcome of the election and not a fraudulent one. Brave Americans who've defended our nation in every form of military theater from the Revolutionary War until this very day did not do so weak politicians would surrender our country to a domestic attack against our free elections. The most critical thing for you to be aware of and act according to is the spiritual battle over the soul of America that is taking place, which exhibits the fundamental dynamic of good versus evil. In this battle, there is a severe, unnatural pressure being exerted against every person who is standing for the truth. The usual tactics of attempting to cancel and intimidate witnesses, whistleblowers, politicians, lawyers who are defending the president and the country, conservative media outlets, and truth tellers is so intense right now that if one is unaware of this, then they will be caught off guard and ineffectually will shrink back in fear. Moreover, the very fact that the threat of civil unrest and mob activity on the part of the left even exists on any level at all is disgraceful, completely unacceptable, and must come to an immediate end in this country. The concept of meeting the demands of a mob has always been anathema to our American way of life. Any undue influence that this type of all too common menacing has on those who serve in public office must be strongly stood against so that they may serve in freedom rather than in fear. And quoting New Testament, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is God who has allowed you to be placed in your position of authority in order to serve the people and the nation to their highest end. Therefore, it is God who will also give you the strength and courage to do what is right by your office, the people of your state, and your country. If you do this, you will go down in history as one of the heroes in our time who stood against tyranny. Thank you for your attention to this critical matter. And Jay gives his details here. JayEtzel.com is his personal website. He concludes, he says, as a registered independent, I want to make it clear that any Republican, Democrat, or independent who truly wants to serve this nation has my complete support. Please share this letter with the appropriate colleagues. Sincerely yours, Jay Etzel. And he has his phone number. Yeah. That's it. So I felt that it would be a public service to read that letter in its entirety for my audience, because Jay, again, who's an extremely dear friend, he put everything there, because sometimes you say, where can I find everything? Just the list of the types of voter fraud, it's beyond belief. I mean, the fact that it wasn't one or two things or three things or five things, it was every kind of possible fraud. His exhortation of the state legislators, saying to them, history is passing through your hands now. You now have that responsibility. The reason I, Eric Metaxas, have been standing up on this issue is because I think when you know what you know, you don't have a choice. I mean, I can't write about people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and then when I see ugly things, just say, well, this is not my job, or I don't want to wreck my career or lose my audience or have people write nasty things about me, which they have, tremendously nasty, ridiculous things. Folks, Bonhoeffer didn't say it, but he's been quoted as saying it. And if you need to know who said it, you can quote me. You can say that I said it from here on in. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless. To do nothing when it's your job to do something, to be quiet when it's your job to speak up, God judges us for this. You can't say, well, I didn't say anything, so I'm innocent. No, because he didn't say anything when you ought to have said something, you're guilty. Now, God is a gracious God, but trust me when I tell you he's a judge. And when you have a moment to be courageous and you shrink from doing the courageous thing or saying the courageous thing, the most fundamental thing conceivable, that every single vote must be counted to the possible extent so that we know exactly how many actual legal votes were given to each candidate. It doesn't matter what it takes. Every state legislator, every U.S. legislator, every senator and congressman has an obligation to history to demand that we do that. We have enough time to do that. Don't let people say, hurry up, hurry up, we got to hurry up. Nonsense. There is nothing more important than figuring this out. There's nothing more important. We will not move forward as a nation. We will not have inauguration until we know these answers. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about $1 a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. It's folks, welcome to a segment that we like to call Ask Metaxas. I'm playing the role of Metaxas, and you get to ask me any questions you like. Right. Alvin, would you play the role of Axer?
I'm playing the role of Mr. Whipple.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin. We are dating ourselves horrifically. We've just lost the kids, man.
I like the mustache. Okay, here we go. Ask Metaxas.
Yes.
All right. Here, I got a great question for you. Okay, this is the first of many. Here's the first question. Eric, can you tell your listeners to ask their local libraries to stock your books? Libraries are responsible to these requests, but they won't buy your books unless we ask, because librarians are about 95% liberal Democrats. Then the book sales go up and many people can read them. How about it?
I'm not making this up. 2 days ago, I actually thought, I hadn't seen these questions, that I need to ask my listeners to do just this. Because sometimes people say, oh, I got your book in the library, whatever. And I thought to myself, my goodness, look, I write my books for everybody. These are not conservative books or Christian books. These are books that I hope everyone will read. And so, yes, I will ask my listeners now. If you hear me now, you're a listener. If you have an opportunity and you go into your local library, would you ask them to carry some of my books? I think probably being specific, you know, first of all, see what books they carry. But my Miracles book, my book, If You Can Keep It, my biographies on Wilberforce, Bonhoeffer, and Luther, my Seven Men, my Seven Women, Seven More Men. I mean, these are all books that I wrote for everybody. And so I unapologetically ask you, my viewers and listeners, please ask your local libraries to carry them, because the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's like giving a book to someone, right? If you ask your library to carry that book, they stick it there. Somebody comes in, they go, oh, great. And, you know, they don't have to pay a dime, which is a nice thing, right? They can read it. And so thank you. I don't know who asked that question, but that is a great question. And I'm not kidding. I thought of that the other day. Another thing I thought of the other day, which has nothing to do with Ask Metaxas, is if you look at my Wikipedia page, there is every now and again, all kinds of like nasty stuff that people put in. I read, I think yesterday, I said, I wonder what it says today. It says that I called all supporters or all people opposed to Trump demonic. That is absolutely a lie. It was reported, and then the reporters reported on the article, you know, and wrote their own article, and it got out there. And I had people like Max Lucado emailed me, Eric, I certainly hope you didn't say this. It's like, of course I didn't say that. It was a conversation I was having with Franklin Graham. We were half joking about the Kavanaugh hearings, and he said something like, it's almost demonic the way the protesters are screaming or something. And I said, almost demonic. It is demonic. But that was about the screeching protesters and sounding demonic. It had nothing to do. I have so many friends that don't like this president. I would never dream of saying that they're demonic. And so I guess this is my long way of saying, if you're out there and you're one of these people who knows how to get into Wikipedia, I would just appreciate more people getting on the Wikipedia page and either adding something nice or true and taking out something not nice and untrue like that. It's just amazing.
Change demonic to wacko or something. Okay.
Dippy. That's the term. Okay. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry.
Nicholas,
I was
a listener,
go ahead.
A listener named Nicholas says, dear Eric, I have to say you're one of my favorite role models. I'm also an aspiring writer and I would love to know your advice for writing. For example, I'll have an inspiring thought. I'll write it down, but it only produces about a paragraph. How do I take my thoughts of inspiration and turn that into a solid book like your books? For example.
Well, Nicholas, that's a great question. First of all, when you have to say I'm one of your role models, that's pretty humbling there. Thank you.
Pretty wacko.
I think a lot of people have false views about writing, and I used to think the same way. People say I'm an aspiring writer. My question is why? You know, like, let's say you can write a paragraph or two. Why do you feel that you need to turn it into a book? I think if something doesn't demand to be turned into a book, maybe it shouldn't be a book. I think that sometimes people have an idea that they've got a book in them when they don't have a book in them. I mean, I think that people have a lot of ideas about faith and art that are very fuzzy. And I think that the book thing, I get this all the time because I do a lot of public speaking and people are always asking me about, what do I do to write a book? And I kind of think, well, why do you feel you should write a book. Maybe you shouldn't. I know a lot of people who have written books that I don't think they needed to write. I can think of a lot of people, myself included, who've written books that then you can't get them published. So this idea that every one of us has a book we've got to write, I would challenge that. I would say that you can, well, let's say you do have a book in you. One way you can find out is outline it. Do you have something to say? Say it in an outline form. Put the logic of it together. If you've got some stories to tell, put those in there. And if it can exist in like what we'd call a book proposal, or if it exists in an outline form where you're very clear on what the chapters are and the different points you want to make in the chapters, then you can add water and sweat and tears and you can write a book. But a lot of times people just have these inchoate, unformed ideas, yeah, and they somehow think it needs to be a book. And I would give pushback on that and say, like, maybe it doesn't need to book. Be a book. Have you thought about that? And people say, well, yeah, I think I want to be a writer. And I want to give you pushback and say, maybe God's not calling to be a writer. I think these are kind of like, you know, romantic ideas people often have. And it needn't necessarily be so. Holy cow, we're out of time. This has been another segment of Ask Metaxas. I played the role of Metaxas. Thank you for asking. Folks, before we go, we must remind you, we are doing a campaign with CSI to free slaves. I kept misspeaking and saying in South Sudan. These slaves are usually from South Sudan, but the Muslim radicals who have enslaved them are in northern Sudan. And we can do something about it. This is genuine slavery in our time. That's the worst news conceivable, that people could be treated like that. But here's the great news. We can actually do something about it thanks to CSI. Go to our website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner. Anything you can do, folks, this is a mitzvah. You do a good deed, it just goes into the record books in history. You've done something wonderful with your money. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the CSI banner. Do it in the name of somebody for Christmas. Greatest gift anyone could get. Hey there, folks. We talk about a lot of tough stuff lately. We're going through some tough times. One of the things you can do, this is very important. If you're going through a tough time, do something for somebody who is going through a much tougher time. Help somebody who is suffering more than you are. That's an amazing thing to be able to do that. We have an opportunity. We are working again this month, as we have in the past, with CSI, that's Christian Solidarity International, to help free slaves in South Sudan. Now imagine, while we complain about the possibility of entering a dark time in this nation where we're no longer free, imagine while we're having that conversation that there are people today who are actual slaves, because the radical Muslims, whether it's Boko Haram, they have a belief that slavery is okay, and that if you don't believe the way they do, if you're a Christian, for example, they can capture you and enslave you. Now, CSI is working on the ground in places like Southern Sudan, in fact, particularly with Southern Sudan, that's what we're doing, to free slaves. And they have told us that $250 given to CSI helps them to free a slave and to set up that person in a life of freedom. So what do they get? First of all, they have the ability, and I want you to understand how amazing this is, folks, that they have established relationships where they can do this. They can actually buy slaves out of slavery. It's an amazing, amazing thing. It's complicated. We'll talk about it another time. But they do that. Then they set them up with aid, with food, literally buy them a goat. They give them a whole fresh start in life. They get a novitium vaccine for cattle. That is what they do, okay, in order to
buy a slave back. If you go to a slave owner in Southern Sudan and say, your cattle are dying, we have a vaccine. We'll give you the vaccine for your cattle if you give us this human being. This is what they have figured out, and it works, and that's what they're doing. That's why we need this money from you. So they do that. They buy the vaccine to get the person back. Then they set them up. They give them a goat, a she-goat, which gives milk. They set them up with a whole survival kit. It involves, you know, a blanket, cooking pots, all kinds of stuff, fishing hooks. They need all these things. Okay, now we need your help, folks. We're going to give you all kinds of stuff as we normally do, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. What I'm going to talk about now is the fact that we need everybody to help. So if you can't give $250, what can you give? There are some people who for Christmas, you say, you know what? What do I need for Christmas? I don't need anything for Christmas. I have everything. Why don't I do this? I will give grandpa in grandpa's name. He doesn't want anything. In his name, I'm going to free four slaves. For $1,000, I can literally free slaves. This is not theoretical. This is not a nice idea. This is not about giving you some big company that does something good. This is about $250 freeing a human being from slavery. Hard even to imagine, but it's true. We'll talk about it more this month. But we want you to help. I'm going to give you the phone number. You can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. It's just important for us to do a good thing when we're going through such a tough time in our country. Do something great for somebody who, without you folks, without you helping them, they are enslaved. We're going to be telling you about this month. But here's a phone number if you prefer a phone number. Go to metaxastalk.com. It's all there. But the phone number is 888-253-3522. I'll say it again. Imagine that you could do this today. Imagine that you have the ability to do this, something this good and this powerful today. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. There are people out there who can give $10,000. I say it again, that I'd be delighted to spend an evening with you as a way of thanking you. Anybody out there who can give $10,000, it's my joy. And down the line, folks, this is an amazing opportunity to do good. Please take this opportunity. God bless you.